So I just want to tell you all, those of you who didn't, you know, who are joining us Facebook Live, there was a prophetic utterance that I shared during our time of worship. And it said this, that there's grace to begin and grace to begin again. Because during that time, the Lord woke me up this morning at 5:28. And I was like, Lord, what's the deal with this weird time, 5:28? So then he began to explain to me, 5 is the number of grace and 8 is the number of new beginnings. So grace to begin and grace to begin again. And then last week, there was a prophetic utterance that I shared that applies to this teaching, where it says that there are no delays and no denials. I mean, there was a season back in the 90s where we were all like, a delay is not a denial. I remember that. But that season is over. There are no delays and no denials. It is your dream is unfolding differently than you thought, but you are still on schedule. The detours that you have taken are not detours, but it was the route you needed to take to have the capacity to carry, operate in, and release this greater glory. Say amen to that. Now, I'm going to tell you that what Holy Spirit wanted me to emphasize, that this word that I'm sharing with you about the unfolding of the dream and it being our birthing season is not a word about what God is going to do. It's a word about what he's already doing and what he's doing right now. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. Last week, I read a scripture where I said there were two things that we needed in order to see the unfolding, or as this dream is unfolding in our lives. And it was faith. It is faith and patience. So as we continue to journey in this word, keep that in mind. That we have to use faith, but also apply patience. That is two sides of the same coin, or two edges of the same double-edged sword. It's two facets of the same strategy. It's faith and patience. So in Isaiah 46, chapter 10, it says this. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my plan will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Now, what this is referring to, the things that have not been done, is referring to things that have not manifested in time and space. Because remember, the works of the cross is a finished work. And so everything has already been done in the realm of the spirit. And so what happens is it has to manifest and become a reality in our time and space. And so when God gives the dream to us, when he gives the vision to us, it's given to us as a seed, even though he shows what the fulfillment will look like. So, and I'm going to take my time to explain this, because a lot of times, and this has even happened to me, God has shown me the dream of what I'm going to be doing. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is awesome. And then when I start walking it out, it doesn't look anything like what he showed me. And then the enemy would try to make me question, did I hear God correctly, or was that really God? But I'm going to tell you that what God does is he shows you the whole thing. He shows you the fulfillment to get that sense of joy and excitement in you and to stir your faith. But it's given, even though he shows you all of that, it's still given to you as a seed form, which means the seeds have to be nurtured in order to produce. 1 Peter 1 and 23 calls the word a incorruptible seed. Now, that's the written word, that's the living word, and that's the prophetic word. It is an incorruptible seed. And so when, I'm going to tell you this, the dream that God has given us is time sensitive, but not time bound. There is a set time on God's timeline for it to manifest, but it is not bound or restricted based on human measures of time. It's time sensitive, but it's not time bound. Let's look at that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. And I'm going to read this one from the King James translation. It says this. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Now, every purpose, let's break it down. Every purpose has a set or appointed time, which is why we teach there are many purposes but one destiny. Because in different seasons, you will be accomplishing different purposes or assignments, which will ultimately lead you to fulfill your destiny, which is walking out your dream. Now, so every purpose has a set appointed time, right? But then there is a season for that set time. So when we came into this year, one of the things the Holy Spirit told me is that this is a season of hearing and obeying his voice, not just a year, because there's a season for the appointed times, and in those appointed times are purposes. So for the dream that God has given us, there is a season for it, and in that season, there is an appointed time for it to reach maturity and fulfillment. And we are in a birthing season. Now, when we walk, when we talk about God's timing, we can't allow our minds to go certain places. For example, when people think about the processes of God, they think of something taking a long time. Then when people think of manifestation, they think about the instantaneous work of Holy Spirit. But God does both simultaneously. And I'm going to show you that in 1 second. Because check this out. In natural time, depending on where you are, the time is different, right? Let me give you an example. On my phone, I can go to this app and see a world clock. So right now in Ohio, in Cincinnati, it's 12:15 p.m. In Las Vegas, it's 9:16 a.m. In Chicago, it's 11:16 a.m. So relative to your location, time is relative. And in Lagos, Nigeria, right now, is 5:16 p.m. So look at the principle of that. The timing of God is relative to our location, spiritually, as well as our geographical location, the gifts and the assignment that's on our lives. So the timing of God for you may be different than the timing of God of someone else who may have a similar calling, a similar dream, a similar purpose, and a similar assignment. Your timing may be different because of where he has assigned you, the place, the physical place he has assigned you, as well as the spiritual place he has assigned you. Which is why you have to be careful when you look at the internet, because you see people all on Instagram and everything else talking about, oh, I just did this. I just had this. I just did that. Yeah, you celebrate, but don't let that cause you to get out of timing through impatience. See, impatience will make you go ahead of God thinking that you missed him. See, God manifests things in increments until the full manifestation occurs. But impatience will make you ignore the increments, looking for the full manifestation, but not realizing it's manifesting along the way. Let's look at that. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. Now, this is so cool. I mean, watch how God does this. Watch this. Watch this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, that had to be spectacular to see, right? Then it says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So I could just picture Holy Spirit just like, just kind of chilling, right? Then verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, he called the darkness, he called night. And there was evening, there was morning, one day. Verse 6, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. You know, he separated it, and he called the expanse sky and things like that. Skip down to verse 8, God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and morning, a second day. What are we seeing? We are seeing creation happen, right? But we see him unfolding it. Because he could have created everything in one time with one word. Because he's that powerful, right? I mean, it only takes one word to change everything forever. Ever and ever. And so, but he is unfolded it. So there was manifestation in that moment. But then by the time you get to the sixth day, you see all of creation along with man done. And so he is manifesting in the now, but unfolding it for the later. You get what I'm saying? And so he took his time to bring about exactly what he wanted because of the detail he wanted to have. Sometimes your dream, the fulfillment of it, or the full manifestation of it, takes time because of the detail that God is putting into the manifestation of what he's put in you. And so human reasoning would try to get you out of God's timing. Because check this out. In verse 5, it said there was evening and morning one day, right? Then in verse 7, it says there was evening and morning a second day. But then in verse 14 is when we see he creates time. He created the sun and the moon. And then he says, let them separate day from night. And let it be for signs and for seasons and days and years. So what we use to measure time wasn't created until the fourth day. Now, God is so slick. I mean, this is so cool. He had evening and morning three different times before there was a sun and a moon. So there was a timing to the manifestation before he created what we use to measure time, which is why our measurements of time have to be in alignment with God's timeline. Because they're two totally different things. How could there be evening and morning before there was a sun and a moon? Except God be that. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's just mind blowing to me. That's just. So we have to reject the temptation to become impatient while God is manifesting the dream. I was watching this TV show yesterday called Kung Fu, and it's a, you know, Kung Fu movie. And so, it's self-explanatory. And so here's what the sensei said to the student. She said, impatience is a desire for the future, but it's also a fear of the present. I was like, ooh. Impatience will have you wanting your future out of a fear or anxiety of your present. That's why he says, follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Because you can, faith and fear cannot operate in the same space. Impatience is the opposite of patience. And what the enemy wants you to do is to keep looking at your promise, but get impatient. But they're necessary factors to the fulfillment of our God-given dream. And when God shows us the dream, like I said, we see what it's going to look like when it's fulfilled. Impatience will cause a person to strive and to toil and to use their own strength, their own solutions that are based upon human logic, human reasoning to bring a kingdom result which doesn't work. I'll say that again. Impatience will cause a person to strive, to toil, to use their own strength, their own solutions based upon human reasoning to bring about a kingdom result. You cannot bring about kingdom result using your own strength, your own solution, or human reasoning. No matter how good it sounds, how smooth the system is, it doesn't work when it comes from impatience and based upon human strength. Because that thing could work for somebody else because God said it for them. But if God didn't say it for you, you won't get those same results. Which is why we have to be patient. And stay in the presence of God and say, what are you saying for me? What are you requiring of me? What is the strategy for me? What are you saying about this dream? What are you saying how it's going to manifest? Because if not, we'll try to copycat somebody. Now, being an entrepreneur, I see it. Or a business owner. I like the term business owner better. That just sounds good. And so I see it. I see people say, well, buy my system and you get these results. Yeah, let me see your system, but at the same time, I got to know, is this what God's saying to me to do? Because if I'm just buying it because you have a great marketing campaign, it won't do anything for me. Impatience will have you doing what's called in the business world the shiny object syndrome. Going from thing to thing. Oh, let me try this. Let me try that. Let me try this. Let me try that. Let me try this. Let me get this course. Let me get that course. Let me do this. The Bible talks about it as being forever learning, but never coming to the knowledge or experience of the truth. Say patience. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, the blessing of the Lord. And I'm reading this from the King James simply because I like the way it reads. The blessing of the Lord, it. Let me pause right there. It. The blessing. Now, there's a difference between the blessing and blessings. Blessings are manifestations of the blessing. When your debt is supernaturally paid off, that is a manifestation of the blessing. So that's a blessings. When income comes to you unexpectedly, that's a manifestation of the blessing, and that counts under blessings. Because, and that has an S on it, because it's supposed to be more than one thing that's happening for you. The blessing is the supernatural ability to prosper. And to be successful, Deuteronomy calls it the power to get wealth. And so this passage says the blessing of the Lord, it. maketh rich. Meaning it makes and keeps making and keeps making and keeps making. That word rich also means abundance. So it keeps causing abundance to come to you. The blessing. And it says, and he, talking about God, adds no sorrow with it. Abundance is not a destination, but a continual condition. Which is why you don't chase money, you chase God. And which is why you fulfill purposes and destiny, money comes. That's what Leroy Thompson was talking about back in the 1990s when he said, money cometh to me now because I am chasing after the presence of God and the establishment of his kingdom. And it's added to me in abundance, not in a just enough kind of way. Do you realize that the dream that God has placed in you is a part of this global glory that God is, this greater global glory that God is talking about? This revival and outpouring that God is talking about? Your dream, it plays a significant role. It's not just the field houses of worship. Can you imagine, Charles, when people come to get some wings and they just walk into your business and they feel the presence of God? And they're like, these wings, you know, I'ma just say it like it is. These wings show is good. It's something about this atmosphere, this ambiance. But it's because the presence of God will reside in your business. Can you imagine when you start to launch out in this dream, how the presence and the anointing of God will use it to transform more lives? See, houses of worship is only one component. The dream that's in you is another component. And just as important, it has a different function and assignment. Now, remember what I said, that impatience will cause a person to strive and toil, right? Look at Jeremiah 17. Let's look at that. Let's contrast that. Hallelujah. So Jeremiah 17, verse 5. It says this. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. What's the opposite of the blessing? The curse. There's no in between. Either peanut butter or you jelly. So he says, look, the person who trusts in mankind and makes flesh their strength is not operating in the blessing. And it says, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Now, a lot of people read that and think, oh, that's talking about somebody, what they say in church, backslide. No, that's not talking about backsliding. That's talking about your mind and your emotions being turned from God because you are looking to something else to be the source and the solution. You can't keep looking to other people and other things to be the source and solution to birth your dream. Sorry. So then it says, for he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes. Prosperity can come, but that person won't see it. Because they've operated out of impatience and they started trusting themselves rather than trusting God in the process. So now prosperity is coming, but they don't see it. They don't experience it. But on the flip side, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Now, that empowerment to prosper, to be successful in birthing the dream, comes when we trust in God. And it says, whose trust is the Lord? I like that contrast. I mean, that's really cool. Why didn't it just say, just trust in God? It's saying, not only do we trust in God, but he also has to be the source of the trust that we place in him. So we don't even have to trust based upon our own ability. Our ability to trust God to perform his word is based upon our relationship with him. I know who he is, and so I trust in him. I trust in his character, which enables me to trust in the fact that what he spoke, he's going to do it. There is a quote upstairs that Apostle John said a while back, and it's in a frame in a nice picture. It says that God is more concerned about bringing his word to pass than you are. So you can want this all day long, and you think about how bad do you want it. Know that Jesus wants it more than you. It was his idea. He gave you the dream in the first place. So do you think he's going to just give it to you just to leave you hanging? He gave it to you because he's going to bring it to pass. You just have to trust him in the process and not allow our physical time or our measures that we put on it to cause us to get impatient. Oh, I should be at this place by now, or at this place by now. This should have happened, or that should have happened. Maybe that's what you think, but maybe God is doing something so extravagant, so elegant, that he needs to continue to process us and increase our capacity to handle it. This is why we have to maintain the posture to hear and receive revelation, strategy, and direction, and avoid trying to figure out the reason how God is going to reason how God is going to manifest something. I'll say that again because I said that too quick. This is why we must maintain the posture to hear and receive revelation, strategy, and direction, and avoid trying to figure out and reason the how God is going to manifest something. And we have to be okay with what God chooses to or chooses not to reveal in the moment. Because some stuff he just is not going to tell you. And you got to be okay with that and stay in the place of faith. And there are times when not having all the information will produce a greater manifestation of the glory of God and cause us to operate at a greater level of faith than if we had all the information. If you knew exactly every detail that was going to play out as you birthed this thing, that really wouldn't take a whole lot of faith. It would take faith to believe the information, but not as much as he gives you that this big snapshot and you're like, yes, and then you walking out details and you don't know, and you're doing this walk by faith that every day you have to take a different step of faith, another step of faith, another step of faith, another step of faith, until you see the harvest come. Can you imagine Isaac when he was told to sow in that land and it was a famine? And he's sowing his seed, looking at it, wondering what's up. Folks are dipping, going down to Egypt. He was thinking, man, I was going to go to Egypt, but God told me not to. And you know his mind was probably wondering, did I hear God correctly? But then it says he reaped a thousandfold that same year because he was patient and operated in faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to put some closure on this. Of course, I got a part two. Because I'm not even going to talk to you about Abraham and Sarah today. Or how they operate. How Sarah got impatient. We hear a lot about Abraham and his journey of faith. But we don't think about Sarah. Where the scripture says she received strength to conceive seed. She, by faith, she had to receive strength to birth the thing. Abraham's promise was connected to her faith as well. And she got impatient by saying, look, and got in reason and said, look, maybe God is going to give us a child this way. Why don't you go get Hagar? Now, now her impatience caused her to take a servant and elevate her to a wife. Because it says Abraham took her to be a wife. And so her impatience got her in the flesh, took a servant, elevated to a wife, and gave her to her husband. And in that moment, I would like to say Abraham was a typical dude. It was like, okay. But what happened was they produced Ishmael. And Hagar was of Egyptian lineage. The same people who would enslave his descendants. See what happens when somebody operates in impatience. Even her as a person, she had to deal with now this other chick being her equal, loving up on her husband, wondering if she's still number one. And Hagar was giving her the side eye like, I'm pregnant. You ain't. I'm the stuff. You ain't. And then produce Ishmael. And then Sarah couldn't handle it. So she tried to treat him harshly. And now we still have a whole nation of siblings arguing and fighting today because of one act of impatience. So I'm going to tell you that we have to get faith and patience to inherit the promise. Where does patience come? It is a manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit. And you cannot get fruit without seed, and seed doesn't come without intimacy. So in order to get this patience that we need, we have to have these intimate times with Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we'll get in the flesh and do something that will cause ramifications that we have to navigate around as we birth our dream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to just encourage you with this. Let me scroll up and find the scripture. Because I am all out of order in my notes. Hebrews 6 and 11 from the Passion Translation. But we long to see you passionately advance until the end. And you find your hope fulfilled. Say fulfilled. So don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your momentum or enthusiasm. I'm sorry. But follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Glory to God. You receive that word? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.